Hi, Paul.
Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
And welcome back to another episode of the Nate Darling Show. People far and wide across the fruited plain and around the world listening on NateDarlingShow.com.
Around the world?
Fruited plain?
We have people everywhere listening to us. Don't you know? Haven't you heard?
From Canada.
I just thought of the most inappropriate, rude joke.
Ooh, no, you have to say it. You have to say it. You have to say it.
Hit it.
Because you were on a plane last night. Was it a fruited plane?
It was a little bit. I gate up that plane a lot. Shit, I had a dance party in the back.
Good for you. You always make everything more fun.
There you go.
It's easy. Our flight was pretty empty last night. It was nice. So flying Friday night from an exciting city to like a non-exciting city is really great because your flight's never going to be full.
How dare you? Sacramento's a very exciting city.
Yes.
I have no response to that.
Normally we tape on a Tuesday night. We're taping special on a Saturday afternoon so that we can get everybody together for ye.
Yay!
Yay!
Because we try and do that as much as possible despite Larry's very difficult schedule.
Eric, I am not cheating on other people. I promise. Your email made me laugh.
It was a very funny email. We got an email from Eric in Portland, basically bringing up suspicion that Larry was cheating on us with other podcasts.
How dare you?
Which,
Larry.
I'm being recruited by Las Vegas to go star in a podcast there.
You're a podcast hooer. Hell,
just like real life.
And this week's show is brought to you by the In Your Facebook Improv Show, coming
Yay.
Up Saturday night. February 25th at 8 o'clock at the Sacramento Comedy Spot. You can get your tickets now on at saccomedyspot.com. You can see the In Your Facebook show featuring me.
Yay!
And, that's Nate Darling.
And a group of other funny people at 8 o'clock for $8. Or you can get us and the main stage show Anti-Cooperation League for $12.
Is that the night that the Drunk versus High show is?
I don't know.
Oh, it might be. Mm.
Look, you're over-promoting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stop it. If they go to the website, they can see there's a calendar there.
Yeah. Is that the same night that lap dances from Larry is?
I hope so.
It might be. Oh, no, because we got to be in Florida with my parents.
Oh,
so that would be kind of awkward.
No.
Oh, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm going out. See ya.
Lap dances with Larry.
Where are you going, sweetheart?
That's pretty much any bar Larry goes to.
They live, so a lot of people don't know this, but the gays have sort of left Miami a little bit and moved up to Fort Lauderdale. Because they've taken over a suburb called Wilton Manors.
Hold on. The gays have taken over a suburb?
Yeah.
It sounds like when the Russians went into Czechoslovakia.
Well, everything in Florida is a suburb. Even Miami Beach really is a suburb of Miami, but they've taken over a suburb called Wilton Manors, which to me sounds like a sitcom about like sassy girls on the Lifetime Network. But it's where all the gays live. And my parents have kind of sort of near there, as I found out because my mom said something. But she was like, I think there's a lot of gays. So I guess there are. So I'd take my parents out to the gay bars. That wouldn't be awkward at all, would it?
I think they'd love it and be very supportive.
They'd be confused.
See there, Paul. You just got a very Paul is Mel's boyfriend. He's sitting in here in the show. He's off microphone for privacy reasons. But you just got to you got to see a perfect illustration of Mel just blasting right through something that was going on. See, she didn't even hear it. Did not even hear it.
Yeah, you were over there fiddling. I heard lots of different. No, I heard the la 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 whatever for a second, and then I figured you were just goofing around over there. What I missed?
It can't be gay, Larry. I could be a lesbian for you, but that's about it.
Aww.
As he was talking about bringing his parents to gay bars. See how funny that would have been? Anyway, moving on with the show. So Larry, just back, we mentioned it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
You're just back from Vegas, and you were in Death Valley.
I was. Both places.
How was that?
It was good. It was weird because I was there for work. And so being in a fun city for work is kind of, I don't know. It's hard to explain because like people were like wanting to do fun things and I was going to meetings. Actually, it was good. Death Valley is really cool. I'd never been there. And the woman who I met with, we actually had a random connection because she went to college where I did an internship in grad school. So we knew some of the same people. And so she was all excited. I got like a personalized tour of the park for a while, which is awesome. I got to go to like the lowest level of where the lowest place in the Western Hemisphere, which is kind of neat.
Cool.
But what I didn't realize about Death Valley is that it gets a lot of water. Like she went kayaking in the lower basin, which I didn't know you could do, but because it's a desert, it didn't go anywhere, and then it just dries away really quick. But it was awesome. I encourage people to go to Death Valley. It's fantastic, and it's pretty. And there's lots of places I want to go back to go hiking. Vegas was awesome. I will not go into too many details, but Thursday evening I had an extremely fun night that was just funny. And
we're going to need just a few more details.
Okay, so I had drinks with a guy, and who we talked the night before, and I was tired, so I didn't want to meet up. And I normally don't meet people for drinks. So I think that's always forced and uncomfortable. And so I was like, yeah, whatever. I felt like up for it. So we went to this bar that was so crazy. It was off the strip, but it was called like Escape Lounge or something. And the outside was seriously like the gayest bar ever. It was like, it used to be a Greek restaurant and then it was a sports bar and now it's a gay place, but they've never taken away any one of those things. So now it looks like a gay Roman sports bar and there's like pillars and rainbow flags. It was fun. And there was drag queens. All I remember is that you could drink all the Bud Light you wanted for $10. So sign me up. That was fun. And then
drag queens, they're my favorite.
It was fun. And then we went to this other bar that his friend owns, and that was fun. Although at that point, I had had a lot of Bud Light, and I didn't eat dinner that day. So I was like sky high. In the bathroom, there's this... Oh, this is not going where people think it is. I went to the bathroom when I first got there, and this guy was staring in the mirror saying how drunk he was. I was like, I might be more drunk than you. So we had a balance off, which I won. But it was fun. So what's funny is this guy, like, we have some random connections. He's like really big in softball world, and his team won the world. No, which is exciting. Like, his team
won
the World Series.
You know how they do the 6 degrees of separation with Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
I think we could do it with you, with anybody in the world. Because you know everybody.
I do not know everybody.
You have a connection to everybody.
I do not.
It's true.
You travel a lot.
You've been everywhere.
I do travel. But it was great. And so I'm a little smitten. And we'll see what happens. I am a smitten kitten. I'm not going to lie. And so I'm so proud of myself because we were out late Thursday. Late. And I had a meeting early Friday. And so I was like, I can do this. Like, when I went to college, I got drunk all the time. And I was like, I can summon this.
Baby, you're not in college anymore.
I know, but I summoned. No, that was training. Do you know how if you train for an athletic event forever, you can get back into it? I was on game that next morning. I wasn't hungover. I don't really get hungover, which is good. But I had time. I had a pack. I had breakfast. And at my meeting, I was like scoring high fives all over the place. I was so good. Not literally scoring high fives because it was with an after school program.
I'm impressed. But I'm a mess. These days I can't drink like I used to.
No.
I also was on a bit of a high because like I'm a very smitten kitten. So
where did you meet this guy? You met him there?
Yes.
Just randomly?
Yes.
Or?
Well, it's yeah, sort of.
Did anything,
okay, God, I'm gonna make it
did anything like this happen?
Oh goodness. I don't kiss and tell people. I will say that I was a very distinguished gentleman.
Oh, and I have no doubt.
We met on Scruff. So
okay, what? What
God,
is
straight
that,
people?
Is that
okay,
another, is that one of the one
is
of those things
like
on
J
your
date?
Oh no. sort of. I guess. Okay, so Scruff is, oh God, okay. So see, when I describe things like this, I feel like it just reinforces stereotypes that are somewhat true about gay men. But Scruff is like an app you have on your phone, and it lets you know, like
oh, when there's other gays around or
yeah,
something?
Like right
oh, you
now,
told us about
yeah,
that, kind of.
So,
is like, it going off because Paul's right there?
No, it's not. No, you have to have a membership. How awkward would that be, though? Seriously? Like, it's the...
Wow.
Do you know what the best thing to do? Because it
I
lets you know...
I can only do it because he's not on mic, so he can't get me back.
It's great to do it in a public place where you're at an airport, because it lets you know, like, someone's 0.01 miles away from you, which means, like, they're next to you. And you can look around, and sometimes you can see the other people who are also on it, and you just kind of laugh. I'm really on it for fun. Like, I generally don't meet people. Like, I think it's fun to look at.
So wait. You like saw that somebody was in your proximity and you like, boop.
Saw me because you have like a little profile and it says something about you. And I wrote like, and he saw me. And so he sent me a message and we actually were texting for 2 days. And then finally Thursday, he was like, he asked me, Wednesday, do you want to go get drinks? And I was like, I really can't. Cause I was leaving early the next morning to go to Death Valley. But on the way back, he's like, hey, do you want to meet up tonight? I'm like, sure. And so he's very interesting. He's kind of like I don't know. I hate when people get all excited when they've only hung out once, but we're already talking about when I'm going to go back. So, it's quite fun.
Yay. Yeah.
So I had a great time in Vegas. I was very happy. And I was even more happy because I was able to mix, like, I felt like a mullet. Cause I was like, I was partying very hard, but I was very businessy. Like, that next day, I was on point.
Nice.
It was great. So I enjoyed it. And I did pretty well. And oh my God, the best thing ever for anyone that gambles. I like to play roulette, but I like the automated roulette. I don't like to have to talk with people because it makes me nervous if it gets crowded. But they all the new slot machines are awesome where they have like five things in a huge screen above. You can win the like super bonus. Those, they know how to get people's addiction tendencies so well, like the people that make slot machines.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's incredible. So it was fun. How was your guys' week?
It was good. Why don't I'll go next, and then we'll save your Valentine's excitement for after that.
Uh-oh.
Thursday night.
It's going to be sad.
It's okay. That'll be funnier for the rest of us. Thursday night. It won't be sadder than my Valentine's Day. Just leave it at that. Thursday night, I went to something called Trigger Point Therapy Seminar at Fleet Feet here in Sacramento. And trigger point therapy is basically a way to give yourself a deep tissue massage. And it's got two things that sort of look like dumbbells, but they've got sort of what look like rollerblade wheels on the ends of it. And then there's a ball, and then there's like a yoga brick. And with that, they show you how to do like deep tissue massage on all the muscles in your legs and in your back and so on and so forth.
I was sure it was going to be either guns or something dirty.
I
was thinking guns.
But no, and the one thing that was really, there were a few things that were really weird. I was having a conversation with this woman that was there, and she was next to me on her yoga mat on the floor, and she's like, the last time I did one of these things, I cried. And I'm like, oh, awesome. This is going to be really fun then. And here's a phrase that was repeated a lot by the two instructors. Okay, you're going to take the ball or whatever tool we were using at that point.
Are we sure? My mind's going someplace else. I apologize.
And you're going to want to put it, let's say, under your calf or just below
it's
your
like
calf.
It's like a masturbation clinic.
It is. It's sort of. Like on Fried Green Tomatoes where they explore their vaginas
exactly,
with a mirror.
Exactly, with the mirrors.
Oh, exactly. So the phrase, you're going to want to find a place where it's uncomfortable and put it there. And yeah, exactly.
Are you sure this isn't one of those like personal massager things? Like you buy it for your aching arms, but really use it for other things.
It's the Trojan Twister.
And the
available at CVS.
The other phrase that was uttered quite often was, "This shouldn't feel good."
Yeah, it's still dirty.
I know. All of this can be used for other activities.
It takes practice. It won't feel good the first couple times, but you'll get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it sounds very, very much like
and relax
that.
And keep breathing.
Breathing.
Oh, and bring water, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's important to stay hydrated.
Sure.
You absolutely had to bring water. So there was it was an interesting night, and it was a guy and a girl instructor, and she was fantastic.
I literally thought you were going to say she was fierce.
No.
I was like,
no. Why would I say she was fierce?
That was my shock.
Ah, well. No. Hold on one second here. I'm going to try and look up Fleet.
What are you looking up?
I see a map and I see Fleet Feet something.
Hold on. I'm trying. You guys are great at vamping, by the way, covering what I'm doing this. I'm going to look up one of the videos.
Hold on, is that like vampire vamping?
Yeah, it's exactly what it's like.
Oh.
All right, hang on a second. We are almost there.
Do you know what I watched on TV the other day?
What?
A movie about Betty Page.
Oh, how was it?
It was really interesting.
That would have been great about 40 seconds ago. All right, here's...
Oh, snap!
See, that's what I'm talking about. Hold on. Mel's very mad at me. Mel's very angry with me.
I'll just be over here. Do your little show. Let me know if you need me to say anything.
What have I done to deserve this?
Exactly. This is kind of a demonstration video that they have online. So this will give you an idea of what it's like as they go through on how to do it.
It's going to be porn.
To get loosening up your calves, you'll want to find your soleus. So chase your gastroc, that's the curved part of your calf, right to the bottom of the teardrop. That's where you're going to place the footballer. The footballer goes at the edge of the baller block. Your toe needs to be pointed. If it's coming up, you're not able to get as deep into the muscle. So let that toe be pointed. Your other leg's going to go on top for extra pressure. At this point, if it's uncomfortable, you know you're in the right spot. Draw some circles.
You're right. That was way more interesting than anything I had to
I
say.
I know. Wow.
No, totally worth it.
No. My point was you weren't saying anything while I was looking it up. That's all I was saying. You weren't helping.
Oh, Mel, I think you were helping.
So anyway, that's what I and to demonstrate how effective it is, they only did one side of our bodies. So you did one, your left or your right. So the next morning I woke up and my whole left side was kind of sore as though I had a deep tissue massage, and my right side felt normal. It was a very odd way to go through the day on Friday.
Mm.
Just very strange. That's all. So that was the most exciting thing from my week.
Mm.
Mel?
Huh?
Oh, okay. Back with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
How was your I know Valentine's Day, Paul was out of town.
Yeah.
So what did you do in a romantic way? And don't get dirty.
I watched Glee.
Did you?
I watched the Valentine's Day Glee.
Aww. How was that?
It was wonderful.
Was it?
Sam, the winner of the Glee Project, finally made his appearance on the show, which was very exciting. And even though I didn't see Paul, he sent me flowers and called a bunch of times and emailed. Aww. And sent me a Walking Dead e-card online, which was pretty awesome because I love Walking Dead.
That's pretty sweet.
And yeah. It said I'd have to be brain dead to not be your Valentine. It was really cute.
That
and of course, flowers at work is always good because then you get to show off to all the other girls.
Yes. You just sounded like you were from Mad Men.
Girls gather around, flowers.
Oh yeah, everybody did it. Everybody that got flowers made a lap with them. Like, oh, I got to go put water in this the long way around to the sink. Look at my flowers.
Do you think anyone sent themselves flowers on Valentine's Day? I always think about that.
I don't know.
That's how messed up I am as a person. When say people get flowers, I'm like, did you send them to yourself? I always think that.
What I was wondering, this is all part of women kind of being cruel, especially to other women. What about the women who didn't get flowers in your office? As all of you bitches were making your laps with your vases full of roses.
I don't think anybody thinks about them at all, frankly. I don't worry about them. I guess I could have given them each a flower as I went by. Somebody actually in my office brought a huge thing of tulips, so every woman in the office actually got a vase of tulips.
Aww.
That was nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
That was very nice. Hey, big news in the gay world this week, and I'm not talking about Whitney Houston. New Jersey.
Yeah, she's not part of the gay world.
New Jersey has passed the gay marriage law, and Governor Chris Christie said he's going to veto it.
He did.
So back to sort of square one with that one, but sort of an update.
No, but did you hear the scandal in Arizona?
No.
That's too good not to mention.
Well, then mention.
So do you know the sheriff in Arizona who got a lot of notoriety for the things? I forget his name.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio?
Exactly. He's running for Senate House something. The person he's running against is also a sheriff's deputy. Like, he's pretty high up, like lieutenant something. He is running. They're running against each other. And a man has come forward who is his ex-boyfriend, who he's never been out as gay. Although if you saw him and you're gay, you'd be like, dang, gay. Straight people probably would not know. But his Mexican boyfriend came forward and said he had to sign a contract with him when he dated him that said, if you break up, you can't ever talk about our relationship. And supposedly he threatened him with deportation. The entire time, like, if that he broke up with him or told anyone that he would, he would let INET or ICE know about his family, they would all get deported back to Mexico, even though they were here legally, which is messed up. But what's funny, okay, what I find hysterical about the entire situation is there's a picture that was accompanied on, I don't know, one of the main Arizona newspapers. And I thought it was interesting because they edited it correctly. They edited the real photo. So you just saw him and this, little Mexican guy with his face blurred. But what's interesting is if you go to Yahoo News and look at it, you can see the full picture. The guy who's running for office is totally pinching the other guy's nipple, which is such a gay thing to do in a photo. It is hysterical. I'm like, I can't believe they took out that juicy detail.
So the guy running against Joe Arpaio is gay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was kind of confused.
But no, he's never really been out. And what's funny is his PR people are doing the thing where you don't ever really acknowledge the question. Like, are you going to comment on this? And no, he's 20 years as a law enforcement person, a member, blah, blah, blah. He's gotten all kinds of awards and he's in the military and stuff. But he looks totally gay Republican.
Won't it be nice that one day that will just not be an issue? That will come up. It won't matter. Nobody will care.
I know.
But yeah, for everybody.
Yeah,
about anything.
I don't care where you put your privates. I really don't.
Yeah,
as long as you can do the job at hand, so to speak.
That sounds very interesting.
I know.
I just think it's really funny because the pictures that are coming out are funny. I mean, he wasn't really super. He's like most gay conservatives. Like, okay, if you go to any gay bar here, you're gonna see gay conservative people who are in the assembly because they're they live this quasi out, just like in D.C. They live a quasi out with private people. And they don't really hide who they are if they live with men or women, in the case maybe. But when it comes public, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't need to comment on that.
Well, they should.
Except I will pinch this little Mexican dude's nipple in a picture. I just can't believe they edited it like that. He literally like had his hand and was just like, oh my God. I was like, get it, dude.
I love how Mel's boyfriend, Paul, was over there doing the pantomime of pinching Mexican nipples.
Hey, I didn't even notice that. Stop that.
It'll pay attention, Mel. There's a lot going on around here.
Maybe it was my nipples he was thinking of, not some small Mexican guy.
Well, that's not what Larry was talking
about.
No,
he's shaking his head. It was definitely a Mexican guy.
We didn't talk about this last week on the show because I was kind of over it at the time. But since the funeral has happened, Whitney Houston. Larry, your thoughts on Whitney Houston still being dead?
Dear ladies and gentlemen, don't do crack for 20 years. P.S. I'm sorry she's gone. That pretty much sums up exactly how I feel.
Yeah, that's sort of, yeah, yes.
Did you see what Celine Dion said about it?
Oh, no. No! I'm so angry. Celine Dion's concerts start this week in Vegas. Not
oh,
week.
You missed it.
I did.
Well, you'll have to go back to see your new boy toy and go see Celine Dion.
I don't know if I can handle all that much excitement.
That's a lot to pack into a weekend, so to speak.
That's what he said.
No, Celine Dion came out and she prefaced everything by saying, Whitney Houston has always been I wanted to have Whitney's career. I've admired her talent and so on and so forth.
Until I
so
surpassed her, you mean?
No. She never went there.
It was the underlying tone, though.
Her whole point was, this is kind of one of the scourges that besets famous people, that they have hangers-on and people who are constantly offering them drugs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oddly, it was prescription drugs that did her in.
That's not uncommon.
No, not at all. I mean, it's what got Michael Jackson. It's actually very common. But, and you know, honestly, we're not going to know for a while what was the official cause of death.
Because 20 years of crack.
Well, that didn't help. And there was drama today at the funeral, too. First, Bobby Brown wasn't going to be allowed in, and then he was. And then I read today, just before we taped the show, that he showed up, and there was a dispute, so he left. And the dispute was he wanted to sit with his daughter, which, okay.
Right.
That's understandable. But he left because they couldn't accommodate his party of nine. Nine people. He rolled to a funeral with nine people.
He had to bring his posse.
Yeah.
No, dude.
Shoot. I didn't really see the speech because I wasn't interested enough to watch her funeral. Like, not to be mean.
Neither was I.
Disrespectful, but I did see that Kevin Costner gave a very moving speech, which is interesting because supposedly on the set they were cold to each other.
Well, maybe they warmed up later.
I think it's easy to remember people fondly when they're gone. I mean, what would you do? Go up there and say, like, yeah, we weren't... The movie was good, but we didn't really get along.
Yeah, you'd either not go or say something respectful. You're not going to go and be a dick about it. I'm annoyed, though, that Bobby Brown thing annoys me because I wish people could let that stuff go. You know, and he could have told his posse of nine, you know, why don't you guys just sit in the back and I'm going to go sit with my sister if you need to be here with me, or my daughter,
right.
and I'll come back to you later. Like, why should that have been the issue to make you leave your ex's funeral? That's just stupid.
Yeah, and I don't know all the details. I only caught a little blurb of it, but
I need to ask a serious question. So tonight is Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And Maya Rudolph, who does quite possibly the world's best Whitney Houston impersonation, is hosting.
Oh.
Is it too soon?
Too soon.
I don't think it is.
I don't think
Saturday
so.
Night Live does not, they don't tend to shy away. I think they will have to do something.
I think it depends on what you're doing. You can do a tribute sort of piece, but you can't do Whitney Houston's bath oil commercial or something like that.
Whitney Houston's crack douche. When you get that not so fresh feeling but need crack in your hoo-ha.
Whitney Houston's bath pillow. I mean, these would all be far too soon.
Oh, that's too much. That's too soon.
Too soon.
But I will be disappointed unless they do something.
And by the time people can get the show, we'll know what happened. So,
ooh, exciting. So, I'm crossing my fingers.
Anyway.
Bobby! I love how she does that. Bobby! Bobby Brown! It's so funny to me when I think of people. I usually sometimes think of their character, like their Saturday Night Live impersonation, more so than the actual person. Whitney Houston being one of them.
I'm like that with Celine sometimes.
Celine? She is back, and her new store at Caesars is gigantic.
Her store or theater?
Well, her theater is the theater that they built for her.
But you always have to go through the gift shop to get out of the theaters.
Her gift shop now is even larger, and it's off to the side. Like before, it was off to the side, but now it's expanded, and it's also Elton John and Celine Dion, and it's kind of like a gay mecca. Because he has a show there, Million Dollar Piano, that's in the off season.
Gay mecca.
I just can't wait for Celine to come out again. Because when she did her last show, where they literally built like a $53 million theater just for her, And she acted every night like no one was going to come. She looked out on the stage like, oh, you came to my show. I can't wait to see what she did again. They just signed her. Like, she was pretty much able to dictate exactly what she wanted. Like, she only wanted to do 4 shows a week. She wants all these like, I can't wait to see it. And they had signs all over. But what's funny is the Celine Dion Theater is literally right next to the sports book at Caesars. So it's like, and I like, I mean, I like sports and I like Celine Dion. So for me, it's funny. But the two juxtaposed next to each other, I find fascinating.
It is the world where Larry comes together. It really is.
God bless Caesar's Palace.
By the way, at a gay Mecca, do you have to bow to it like 3 times a day as the Muslims do toward actual Mecca?
No, but whenever I listen to dancey pop tunes, I usually like incorporate some kind of a bow motion. So I guess, yeah, I guess so.
Now, you guys remember the racist Super Bowl ad from Pete Hoekstra in...
the Asian girl.
You spend a lot of money. You borrow from us. We get rich. You get poor.
Well,
I remember.
You can go back and listen to it in show number 33 if you missed it. But they've pulled it off of YouTube shortly after the criticism came out. Well, the girl who stars in it is named Lisa Chan. And she,
that sounds racist.
She is a University of California Berkeley grad, and she is a San Francisco native. And she competed as Miss Napa Valley in the Miss California Beauty Pageant. And she has since apologized for doing it.
Did she not think that as she was making the commercial? I mean, she went to Berkeley. Like, she's not dumb.
Well,
she just thought she was getting $150 for an hour's work.
Well,
she did not care.
Honestly, I think this is what happens to a lot of people forget that this is the internet age, and what you do anywhere will be seen everywhere. And she probably thought, look, I live in San Francisco. I went to Berkeley. This is an ad in Michigan for Pete Hoekstra. Who the fuck is going to see this? No one's going to see me. And then there she was. So here is what she said, and I quote, "It was absolutely a mistake on my part, and one that, over time, I hope can be forgiven." So she apologized on Facebook. I feel horrible about my participation, and I'm determined to resolve my actions. What does that even mean? How are you going to resolve your actions?
You have to do a lot of community service for Asian community in San Francisco.
But I'm never again going to be Asian so muchly. I mean,
racistly Asian.
Yes. The amount of racist thoughts going through my head are like, did she end by saying, like, love you long time?
Oh.
Was she wearing a Hello Kitty t-shirt? Like, it's bad, but it's all... Although I think Asian topics are very big right now because of Lin and the Knicks. And did you hear what ESPN had on their website?
We're going to get to that later in the show. We're going to get to all of that later in the show.
It's so good.
It is, and we're going to get to that later. So stick around. I've got a whole Jeremy
so happy.
Lin. Got a whole
That's
Jeremy.
Racist.
It is.
I'm very racist.
Somebody bought me a shirt like that, and I finally gave it away because I was like, I don't feel like I can wear this out of the house.
What does it say?
It's like... miso something. It was a whole line of those
so
miso
racist.
Shirts with a little Asian girl riding a bike, and I just thought, I don't think I'm supposed to be wearing this.
Yeah.
It feels inappropriate, so I never wore it.
What happens if it said miso Jewish?
Then I might. Then it's sort of half okay.
You can kind of play it with
I could
Jew.
Get it from my sister-in-law. That'd be perfect.
She is
She's Chinese and Jewish. She is miso Jewish.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
All right, moving on to Florida. A Sanford, Florida man suffered multiple gunshot wounds on Wednesday in an apparent drive-by shooting. That's not funny at all, is it? No. Mm-hmm. He called 911 to report the shooting and was still in his blue Jeep Cherokee when deputies found it stopped on State Road 46. "I've been shot, I've been shot," he screamed in the 911 call. "I've been shot like 7 times, he told the dispatcher. "Please hurry, please, please, please." Later, he told the dispatcher he'd been shot like 8 times. Now, deputies found out he was shot 3 times. So not 7 or 8, but only 3. So he was alert and talking when the deputies found him, and he's apparently going to be fine.
That would have been me, though. I'd have been, like, freaking out. I don't know. It was, like, 100 shots. I don't know. Come get me. I'm scared.
It's a good thing that white sorority girls are not involved in violence more often, because that's what would happen.
Yeah, I'd just be freaking out. I mean, they did shoot his car, like, a bunch of times, and he probably just heard the shots and didn't know how many got him and was just freaking out, like, doing that thing where you pat your whole body to see where the holes are. Oh, God, I'm shot.
Like a terrible movie.
Yeah, I'd be freaking.
All right, it's time for the original segment on our show, sponsored by the Nate Darling Show shop at Zazzle.com/Nate Darling Show. You can get a t-shirt and support the show. Throw a few shekels our way. How'd you like that? Give them a little Jewish
That's
word.
That's very nice.
It's time for...
Cool!
Cool.
Whoa! All right, first of all, cooler tool, the actress who was in the racist Pete Hoekstra spot, Larry.
I think calling her a tool is a little bit strong. She was just an artist. You can't blame the artist for the work that they're performing. So I'm going to say cool. I'm also afraid that if I say call an Asian a tool, I've already been racist today. That's going to make me super duper Asian, and they're going to be protesting. My apartment building is owned by an Asian man.
You just said you'd be super duper Asian?
No, racist.
Oh, but you said super duper Asian. Mm. That's okay. I was just
clarifying.
I'm going
to say cool.
Okay.
I don't think she's a tool.
Mel?
I don't know. I mean, she apologized. That was nice of her
on
to have
Facebook.
That awareness. Well, these days, that's sort of how you do
Are
it.
Are you making slanted eyes? That's racist, Mel. She's not everybody. I'm just
that
kidding.
Was so mean.
But her face literally just looked like I said, I'm going to go kick some puppies. I'm really
that
racist
was
today.
So wrong.
I need to get over it.
I don't think she's a tool. I mean, you know, you heard what I almost said last week when I was like, I kind of get the commercial. I was like, wait. Yeah. I get what they were trying to say. And maybe she was looking at it through sort of not the broad big picture, which, you know, if you just think about the fact that we're spending too much money and other countries are going to dominate us. Maybe she was just looking at it that simply and just thought she was doing a good job. And then when she realized she made a mistake, she apologized. So I don't think she's a tool. So by default, cool.
Yeah, same.
I'm going to go the other way on this. I know it's shocking. I'm going to go tool on this. I mean, come on. You're a smart girl. You went to Berkeley. You live in San Francisco, one of the largest Asian population centers outside of, Asia. You've got to know that if this gets back to the hood, it's going to be a problem. So it's a tool move. You did it for your union scale, and that's fine.
Do Asians have hoods?
Sure. If it's raining, they put them up.
I don't know if there's really hoods in San Francisco outside that neighborhood by Candlestick.
Well,
that's about it.
Well, I'm not talking about like a ghetto or anything like that. I'm talking like Chinatown, a neighborhood. It's just short for neighborhood. That's all. Yeah. All right, next up, cooler tool. Part of this whole Whitney Houston thing, the state of New Jersey is flying their flags at half staff. Cooler tool, Larry.
Yeah, I know. There's a
Wait, really?
This.
Really? Honest to God, they're flying their flags at half staff for Whitney Houston.
You know, it's
not
so,
but not all there, it's not a mandatory thing.
It's so funny because you send us like prep lists before the show, but sometimes, you know, some stuff you hold back cuz it's, you know, like stuff you only know about, so it doesn't matter, or sometimes you'll just write something in abbreviations and so I'm like, he'll explain it on the show, it'll be fine, cuz you always give enough lead in that I don't always have to worry about knowing what you're going to talk about exactly. I looked at this, I was like, I swear to God, I read half stuffing Whitney Houston. And I was like, I don't know what that means. I'm sure Nate's going to explain why New Jersey's only half stuffing her. And I had no idea. And I did not know it had anything to do with the flag. So I'm baffled.
I feel like there's two trains on this one. I'm not sure which one to go on. One is, I hope they fly the flags at half staff every time someone from New Jersey dies like in a war, or a policeman dies, or a fireman dies. Another way is that, I mean, she was from New Jersey. She gave a lot back to where she was from. So, I mean, I don't see it being against. I just have a little bit of problem of, like, romanticization of people, especially if they're celebrities. Like, I would be more inclined if New Jersey actually cared about the amount of women who are addicted to drugs and die, rather than just because this girl sang well, that makes her good. Like, I don't know. I'm just kind of indifferent-ish about it.
Okay, hold on 1 second. All right, we're back now. We had a slight technical issue there where it looked like it had stopped recording, but it really hadn't.
You know what? Had I known, I would have gone, beep, 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 beep. Because I've always wanted to do that professionally.
Awesome. I like that.
You should take a voiceover class and say that's all you want to do. Like, you want to do cartoons or commercials? No, I want to make the emergency sounding noise.
Yeah, I just want to be the emergency broadcasting system.
All right, so Larry, you were just about ready to say cooler tool to the state of New Jersey for flying the flag at half staff. We got through all of the explanation.
Okay, I am conflicted. I'm going to have to say, I'm going to choose, I think, the better of the options, cool. Because I feel like it's tooly, but I feel like whatever. I guess honoring anyone that contributes something good is good. I would hope they would do that for everyone, but I think I think this actually might be one of the toughest cooler tools we've ever had.
Mel, what do you think?
I don't like it. I think it's toolish. I have a really hard time with all the people that get romanticized and made famous and are drug addicts and overdose or kill themselves. And then, you know, like the Jim Morrison obsession and the Kurt Cobain obsession. Not that those people weren't good music. Well, I'm not a big Doors fan, but I think Nirvana was a wonderful band and did some great music. But then everybody makes these people like idols for doing sad, bad things. And I think there's a lot of really amazing people in New Jersey that probably don't get the flag at half mast for them. But because she was so famous, even though she was a drug addict and also did some pretty horrible things to herself and probably those around her, she gets what I consider special treatment. And I don't like it. And so I say Tool.
I agree, Mel. I think it's a Tool move. And a lot of times when you see a flags flown at half staff, it's usually because people who are serving the state or the country were killed in the line of duty or die somehow. Okay, and are you doing the shocker over there? What is that?
She was.
Larry started it.
Don't blame me, Asian hater.
Oh boy, here we go.
If one of the Real Housewives of New Jersey died, would the flag be flown at half mast?
I think you'd burn all of them if they did. All the New Jersey flags, not the American ones.
I don't like that. I mean, especially because there's, you know, are they doing it for everybody? Like, who, you know, what? How the here we do it mostly for, like, you know, law enforcement. If an officer goes mm-hmm. down in the line of duty,
and politicians, people who've served the state,
yeah,
people who've served the state, and that's kind of how it should be. And
would I'm sorry, my mind immediately went to Arnold Schwarzenegger's maid, because she served the state. I'm sorry, she did.
Well, she served the governor of the state.
Yes, she did.
She serviced the governor
of
the state.
So what happens if you have somebody who's like an elected official that then gets removed from office or gets arrested and then dies shortly thereafter?
Well, I don't think you would. I don't think that you would fly it at half staff for.
Or if they committed suicide.
It really is going to depend on what they did. I think for the state
died in
a
shootout after a drug deal going
wrong.
Well,
yeah, I mean that's something.
But they were a really good teacher. Like, yeah, that would be really interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate. Now, finally, in Cooler Tool, the shot man in Florida for inflating the number of bullets he took to 911. I'll start it out.
You're gonna mock him so hard.
I know. You know, I've never been shot. I would imagine it probably stings a lot. Probably more than getting hit with pepper spray or tear gas. And if I really wanted people to show up, like 911, because a lot of places 911 don't show up.
You'd be like, I got shot a million times.
Oh, no. I would go, I would do something like, they emptied a magazine into me. Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, but still. So I'm going to go cool because he just wanted them to show up so that he wouldn't bleed out there.
I think he was probably also panicking and in shock and did hear a lot of bullets going and felt pain in his body. And he probably didn't really know how many had hit him because I think his car got hit like 5 or 6 times. So he could have just been in total. You know, on a side note, I just got a case where a guy was a victim of a drive-by shooting and his car was riddled with bullets, like riddled with bullets. Not a single shot hit this guy. Talk about lucky.
Nice.
That car company who made that car should have a commercial.
Right?
Been like, listen, are you afraid you might get shot up in a drive-by? This man lived through getting shot and didn't
get
bullets
in
his
like
car.
10 or 12 bullets in his car and not a drop of injury to this guy.
On the other side of that, whoever makes that gun does a really terrible job. Larry, what do you think?
To be fair, they were pussy bullets. So I'm going to say cool because I think I have a flair for the dramatic, and I'm afraid that if I was in a drive-by, I would say I was being attacked by a foreign country. So I'd be like, oh my God, Afghanistan's attacking me! Sir, a squirrel's
Isn't
on
pussy
your
friend?
Ooh, is your pussy your friend? Is that what that just said?
Isn't pussy your friend?
No.
Yes.
Meow.
I think it depends on who you ask.
What kind of pussy?
That's a fair question. Anyway, well, we're going to move on. You mentioned Jeremy Lin earlier. We were all very excited. One of the things that's really kind of pissed me off about this whole thing, like I'm stoked because the guy came out of nowhere and he's doing very well and he went to Harvard and so on and so forth. But I hate puns. Puns are the lowest form. I know. They're the lowest form of humor. What they do is they take people who aren't clever and make them think they're clever. Not you guys.
Mel and I are sitting here in shocked
love
because we love puns.
Puns are so punny.
Yes.
I'm going to read a few of the ones that have made the rounds. That's what we're going to do right now because this was the first thing. And I think it sort of takes away from what he was doing. Super Lintendo.
Fun.
That was the first one. The Linderella story.
I like that one.
Me too.
Of course you do. All I can do is Lin being held up by an Asian dude. That's a sign. It's win.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, here's a group of people holding signs. Just Lin Credible, Lin Long and Prosper.
Love.
Everybody that must. Everybody. I'm Hus Lin.
That's pretty good. I think Asians are going to overtake basketball now.
ESPN was one of the worst.
I think Yao is all jealous.
Yes.
Yeah, he might be. Here's the sideline. The sidebar from ESPN. And this is their stories. It's all Jeremy Lin stories. Just Lin time, back Lin the day, cashing in on Lin, Lin's rise and shine, and fans going Lin-sane.
Lin-sane.
I do love Lin-sane and Lin-sanity.
There was one, though, that seemed really inappropriate. I think it's coming up.
Okay. Then there's to Lin-finity and beyond.
Love.
Good.
Oh, that's one of the other puns. Lynn and Barrett is another pun that made the back page of the New York Post. And the last one let me scroll down here. No, that's
it's after that.
It's something that, here we go. Hold on. May the best man Lynn is another one. And I think this might be the one you thought was inappropriate. Amazing.
Oh, no, that's not what I thought was inappropriate.
That was back page of the New York Post. Now, because
it's like amazing, but amazing, that one makes me uncomfortable.
You guys love puns. Well, this chick from Florida State.
Who I love. She should get an award for most amazing dumbass.
she really wants a date with Jeremy Lin.
She does have a nice rack.
So she posted. Hmm. Well, of course she does. She's holding her arms together and pushing her boobs up and together.
Oh, like every girl's Facebook study picture.
There you go. Well, she really wants a date with Jeremy Lin because she's seen him on the Twitter. And so she posted this video.
Hey, so I've been hearing a lot about this Jerry Lin guy on Twitter.
Jerry Lin.
And I think he plays for the Giants. And the Giants won the Super Bowl, so congratulations to the Giants and Jerry. So I really like winners, and I really, really like black guys. And
winners and black guys.
Jerry, if you're out there and listening, I would like to invite you to be my date for my sorority formal. I'm a Kappa Delta at FSU. Me and my girls really know how to party, and we'll definitely show you a good time.
How humiliating for her at this point.
How embarrassing for Kappa Delta.
I don't think she knows any better.
Back on my Twitter at XOXO, Angie Angel.
Twitter her right now.
I hope to hear from you soon.
So you know she's gotten blown up since this.
Well, she should, because she is easily one of the dumbest people.
Who doesn't do any research before they do something like that? What a ding dong.
I've heard a lot about this.
If she did research, we wouldn't be talking about her. So maybe she's really smart.
I doubt that. And this is where all of your beloved puns lead you, people.
I love puns.
Yeah, well, this is where they lead you. They lead you to people who aren't clever, thinking they're clever by trying to go just one pun deeper. So this morning...
It's offensive.
This morning at 2:30 a.m. Eastern... a headline went up on ESPN's mobile site because the Knicks lost last night, and it read, "Chink in the armor."
That's so wrong.
I know. How did someone not think to themselves, this potentially is not the best headline?
Because they were trying to come up with an even more clever pun for you pun-loving
silly
people.
There's a difference between puns and racists.
No, well, that's a fine line sometimes, apparently.
That's like the title should have been like, "Me not love you long time, Knicks lose." Like, that would not be appropriate.
Well, to be fair, not maybe that person who wrote it didn't know that chink in the armor
was
a derogatory term.
They should not
term.
Be a journalist if they're not aware of commonly offensive terms.
Well,
because otherwise it's going to be like douchebag, Catholic Jew bag. like really?
Are they really journalists if they're updating the headlines on ESPN's mobile site at 2:30 in the morning? I mean,
a sound argument, Mr. Darling.
So that's where puns lead you. Anyway, puns. it was only up for 35 minutes, and ESPN said that they are conducting a complete review of our cross-platform editorial procedures and are determining appropriate disciplinary action to ensure this does not happen again. We regret and apologize for the mistake.
We love you, Asians, long time. That's how they ended it, which, again, does not mean they've learned their lesson.
Me so sorry.
Yes. What's this really going to mean? Do you know what the actions are going to take? They're going to go into Microsoft Publisher and write, "Hey, dickwads, don't drink while you're updating headlines," and put it in the editorial room.
So I know Nate will have no idea what I'm talking about, but Larry, Mike, do you ever watch Cupcake Wars?
Yes.
So they did one for the You're the Dragon for the parade. And so they were doing the cupcakes, and two of the cupcake makers did like Asian spices, and they did lotus flower decorations, and they were really awesome. And one lady did nothing Asian about her cupcake. She just did totally like whatever she wanted to make. And then she put like fortune cookies and takeout boxes on top of them. And like Miss Chinatown or Miss whatever, the beautiful Asian woman that was there judging, was like, I'm sorry, this is really mostly just kind of racist. And it shows that you don't know anything about our culture.
Right.
And the cupcakes don't taste really like they have any kind of Asian flavors in them. This one's a peach cobbler with a fortune cookie on top. It was hilarious.
She should have been like, yes, because my Asian friends live in the South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Wow.
What she should have come back with is, look, we're in America now. This is what Americans think goes on with Asia, so just deal with it. Enjoy the cupcake, bitch.
But this is what I think is funny. Like, I think it's weird how there's, like, a sliding scale, for lack of a better word, of racism. Like, imagine that was a different culture, and if you would put just, like, stereotypical things that are associated with that culture on top of a cupcake. Like, if it was Black History Month and you put fried chicken on top of a cupcake, that would not be okay.
What if it was chicken and a waffle? On
then
top of the cupcake.
If they tasted like chicken and waffle cupcakes, I think it could be kind of cool.
What if it were a cupcake with glitter and a butt plug? How would that be then?
For Black History Month?
No, for gays.
Oh, I was like, what? Do blacks love butt plugs and glitter? Oh!
Some of them might, Larry.
So at the airport last night, randomly, I was talking to this girl. She had a super glittery bag. And I started talking to her. And I was like, I love your bag. And she's like, thanks. And then she said something else. And I was like, I love Shiny Things. She's like, me too. I love Kesha. And I was like, oh my God. So we talked for like 7 minutes. Did you check bags? I didn't see you down there. There's a black girl with a really shiny bag. And
what?
We became friends.
I am shocked by
it
that.
It was awesome. Like the bag literally was like, you took a huge bag, covered it in glue, and then dipped it in glitter and took it out.
So you were so busy looking at some girl's glittery bag that you ignored my boyfriend at the airport.
No,
is that what you're saying?
No, because I got your message, and I looked around, and I didn't see him, and so I assumed he was on the 7, not the 7:30
flight. The fact
that
he came up to you and said your name to
you? I didn't hear him. I'm kind of deaf sometimes. I just like that he did that, and people around him thought he was this crazy guy. The other thing is, I have to be honest, I'm a little schizophrenic in the sense that when it comes to being in public places, I'm 95% sure people are saying my name all the time. And when I'm with people, because my name like can sound like other things. And so sometimes people actually are saying my name, but I think I've just tuned it out because
that's like a yell that starts with M always sounds like me. You know, Mel. Melissa, Mike, Marth, anything sounds like Mel.
So you respond to pretty much
I'm always flipping my head around when I'm out in public because it always sounds like people are yelling
you
for me.
You whip your hair back and forth.
See, I go the other way. I just ignore everything, and then eventually I wait for it to be loud enough so that I can't.
Yeah. Tap on the shoulder like, why are you ignoring me, dick?
There really should be an app online, or there should be an app that people can get on their phones. Where like, so you knew that Paul and I were in the same place, that you could press a button, and then if we both went on, it would say how close we were to each other.
Oh, yeah.
There is only one problem with that. Mel doesn't have a smartphone.
I can only make phone calls, remember? Yeah. And so can he.
So that wouldn't have been useful.
Okay, so...
It's a great idea, though. I love it. Mm-hmm.
You know, while we talk, Nate's always doing his job because he actually has to run the board and do all his stuff over there plus talk. And I notice that you're getting prepared to do what I believe might be small town news.
That's coming up in a couple minutes.
But
yeah.
If you don't do the story with the amazing one paragraph in it about the guy with the drugs, I'll cry.
Oh, no, that's it. It's in there. I'm just not.
Don't skip it because I'll kill myself. It made me have tears in my eyes this morning.
Well, you guys are on a really good roll there, so I didn't want to interrupt you.
I was worried you were going to skip the story. And, you know, the thing about the story is just the one paragraph down at the bottom. So you must read that paragraph in its entirety, Nate.
I will. And since we were there, the headline, Squatting Naked Man, Ramon H. Blair.
Squatting Naked Man.
Found with crack in buttocks in Stewart, police say. So this also from Florida. A 28-year-old man accused of having cocaine in his buttocks and nose was arrested following tips from informants and instructions to squat, according to recently released records. Now, here's what my first thought was. He had cocaine in his nose and his butt. That is a flexible dude.
Ew.
He probably just had it stored in his butt. It was like a shed more so than doing it.
It was a shed?
Ooh, do you know what it's called when you do drugs in your butt? I learned this at a class I volunteered for once. It's called a booty bump.
What class did you volunteer for?
When I lived in DC, okay. I was going to be a sex. I was going to like volunteer to be a sex educator at Whitman Walker Clinic, and it was one of like you had to learn all these things. And I learned that I'm a very boring person because all the shit was talked about.
And you don't do booty bumps.
I don't do drugs. Although literally, it's called booty bump when you put like you do it really more with meth. You put meth in your butt and it absorbs.
It's the royal you. You royally put
that
meth in your
yucky.
Butt.
Why not?
I don't like it.
Would you rather, if you were going to do drugs, would you rather like shoot it in your arm?
Yes.
What's weird though is because it was supposed to be extreme.
I don't want anything
like,
in my butt.
They take harm reduction, which is like an approach some people really think is bad, where they try to teach people are going to make choices. You have to tell them the choice is. They encourage you, if you're going to do it, it's one of the safest ways to do it because you don't have to worry about cross-contamination of needles or anything else. But I'm like, how fucked up is that? That's when I realized I would not be a good public educator because you have to be able to like respond to like and not make people feel weird. Like if I'm getting double-fisted and I want to do meth, what way should I do it? Well, let me check the manual, sir. Like, I wouldn't know what to do.
How much do you value your teeth? I think that's the first question we need to know. Because if you really do, then I would suggest not doing the meth by smoking.
Yeah. Well, supposedly when you do meth, you get super horny. So if you don't have teeth, you could give blowjobs all day and not really have to open your mouth that wide.
I don't think anybody's going to want a blowjob from you, though, because you're going to be ooky.
When you're on meth, no one fucking cares.
I guess that's a good point. Now, this guy didn't actually have it stored up his nose, though, right? He had just done some and had, like, leftovers.
Like residue?
It was residue, and it wasn't actually in his butt. It was merely stored in his crack. He was keeping it between two pillows, so to speak.
He didn't want to insert. Those aren't pillows. He was more bicurious. He didn't want to fully go in.
So he was arrested the day before Valentine's Day after a sheriff's deputy learned from an informant that a man with $100 worth of crack cocaine on his person would be with a woman in a white Pontiac with no hubcaps. Classy. The deputy stopped the vehicle and found Blair in the back seat. He had cocaine residue in his right nostril. Meanwhile, another informant said Blair had about $300 in crack on him. A search turned up nothing, so that situation changed at the jail. During an apparently more thorough probe, a deputy relayed Blair, quote, must have concealed cocaine on his person, and Blair was told to disrobe. I instructed Blair to squat and cough.
Is that normal?
An affidavit states, Mel, you were a cop. Have you ever told anybody to squat and cough?
I'm done. Yes.
She okay. told sort Paul last night to squat and cough.
I went on I got called onto a call once that was the alcohol and tobacco people, whatever, had a call out for a house that they were waiting for a warrant on. So they needed people to come sit in and basically sit on the house and wait for the warrant. The problem was there was about five women there and there was no female cops in the county. So they borrowed me from my department to go help them. And I had to sit there and basically watch women pee all night. And every time they peed, I had to like inspect all their orifices in great detail.
Wow.
It was the most horrible night of my life.
I feel like there's probably a fair amount of guys out there that like that is their ultimate fantasy. There's probably like,
and that's why they won't let the guys
do it. A lot of money
it.
To watch that.
It was disgusting. There was girls that were having like their time of the month.
Oh,
so was there period stuff coming out?
I had to like remove stuff.
Tampon?
From them,
you had to take a girl's tampon.
And then
off?
I had to look inside of them, and then I had to watch them go to the bathroom, and then I had to flush. It was the most sickening.
Were their vaginas gross?
Kind of. They're vaginas. They're yucky and ooky when they're not your own.
Were they hairy or do they shave?
I don't remember the details. I have a vivid memory, though, of a tampon sliding out of somebody else's vagina.
Ooh.
And me holding the end of the string.
Oh, my God. That literally just made me a little lightheaded.
And that is why you need to respect the cops.
That's right.
When they
give us a freaking
over.
Break.
Yeah, I mean, that's a rough night for
God,
you.
Oh, God, I'm getting... Oh, my
although,
God.
Although, oddly, by law of averages, there are at least two people listening to this podcast right now who are beating off to that story.
You know, the other thing about
we're gonna
that...
We're going to become very big on the women urination.
The other thing about that was disgusting was I remember there was one girl, too, that had really thick, yucky, yucky dreadlocks.
Oh, I thought you were going another direction.
And I had to, like, pick through her hair, and there was stuff in it, and... junk in it, but I had to make sure there weren't drugs hidden in it, so I had to like go through each like dreadlock and squeeze them and pick through them, and it was not cool.
Did she have crabs?
It was just dirty and there was bits of stuff.
Dried cum?
I didn't smell it or lick it, so I don't know.
All right, moving back to the story. The affidavit didn't specify whether the paper was notebook
this is
on.
The best part.
So he was told they
I want to know what inspired the guy writing the article to write this extra paragraph in it, but they should get a little award for awesomeness.
So after the squat and cough, this also from the affidavit from the deputies, I then noticed what appeared to be a wad of white paper stuck between Blair's buttocks. Blair was told to extricate the paper, which he said contained crack cocaine. The affidavit didn't specify whether the paper was notebook paper, tissue paper, printer paper, cardstock, papyrus, parchment, vellum newsprint, or another variation of paper entirely. Nor was it clear whether or not it was of letter, legal, or ledger size.
Wow.
How awesome is that? That just got thrown in for funny. I mean, that's just a writer who just wanted to throw in a little right. something funny to see if anyone was paying attention.
And so, it's factually correct.
Yeah.
It all is. And I applaud the editor for letting it fly
yeah,
in
it's
if
awesome.
There was one. So, yeah. Anyway, he was arrested on charges including 2 counts of possession of cocaine and a single count of introduction of contraband into a correctional facility because he had it between his cheeks. In some sort of paper.
Wow.
A little pinch between the cheek and gum.
We don't know if it was carbon paper. Who knows?
Squat and cough.
That would make a mess.
Do they even make carbon paper anymore?
God, I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think so.
This was kind of a funny story. Larry and I were outside waiting for you because you showed up last today, which is unusual for you. And I called and I got your voicemail. And I asked Larry before I said, but I wanted to bring this up because your voicemail, if you reach your voicemail, says, "Hi, this is Mel. I can't come to the phone right now." As yeah. though the phone is still chained to the wall in the kitchen.
And we laughed. It's a little bit like that's an old school answering machine. Because you don't want to say, because everyone said if you said you weren't there, robbers would call you first. And then if your voicemail said you weren't home, they're going to come and rob your house. People were like convinced of that stuff like a long time ago.
Yeah. So, and I know you have the old school cell phone, so it was just, you just hadn't updated your thinking on that. And that just struck me as a little funny.
And you know why I still have that message on there? Because somebody once told me it sounded super sexy. So I've never wanted to mess it up and not sound as sexy again, leaving my voice message.
Well, I mean, you could do the same thing and
it
just
may not
say,
be the same good voice, though.
Hey, this is Mel. I'm too busy watching women urinate and making sure they don't have crack in their orifices. Leave a message and I'll call you back.
Will you leave my message just like that?
I will, of course.
I've got my eye on the prize. I can't take your call. Now, PETA, we talked about PETA before. By the way, their lawsuit where they were suing, based on the killer whales being slaves, that was thrown out of court.
I just had to say I'm hungry. I'm going to eat after this. And so when you said PETA, I automatically thought about PETA sandwiches because I'm kind of hungry.
So PETA has a new ad out. Excuse me. Goodness. It shows a woman in a neck brace trudging painfully back from the stores. Under her coat, she appears to have forgotten her skirt. And when she gets back home, she sees her newly vegan boyfriend wearing only his tidy whities, fixing a hole in the wall, which is a casualty of last night's extravaganza.
And he's not. He's wearing boxers. So I don't know why they say that in the article repeatedly.
Well, let's take a listen to the ad. This is what happens if your boyfriend goes vegan.
This is Jessica. She suffers from BWV AKT boom. Boyfriend went vegan and knocked the bottom out of me. A painful condition that occurs when boyfriends go vegan and can suddenly bring it like a tantric porn star.
What?
For Jessica, it's too late.
Well, you're back. You feeling better?
Please go to bwvaktboom.com and learn to go vegan safely.
I have so many thoughts.
I get the initial horror. I like it. I think it's funny. I think people are overreacting. I think there was a couple things they could have done differently to make it a little less offensive. But I think the idea is cute and funny.
What's funny? The girl in the neck brace with the bruised face?
You know, I think they should have not done the neck brace and made it a little more sexy and lascivious. Like,
in a fucking neck brace?
Yes.
That's called violence to women. How is that acceptable
exactly.
or appropriate?
Exactly.
If it wasn't for PETA, if it was for Bud Light, women would be burning themselves in the street.
Right.
But because it's about veganism, it's okay?
Thank you.
Well, no, it's not. And the way they did it is wrong. It's basically saying, like,
you can fuck girls up and it's a good thing.
If you're a vegan, you can fuck them so
God.
Good. What they're trying to say is he fucked her so good it like blew her mind, but they should have stuck to that and not made it so she got messed up.
What they're saying is he fucked her so good he smashed her head through the wall.
And broke her neck, and put her head through the wall.
So basically they're saying if you become a vegan, you can be charged with domestic violence and sexual assault in 48 states.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Chris Brown.
And then they tried to say that what makes it okay is at the end she smirks and goes at him like she's ready for
That's
more.
That's like saying she asked for it.
I know. Or it's the honeymoon phase and she's going to let him beat her again.
No. And that's aside the fact that any vegan you meet doesn't have a lot of energy.
No.
And they
won't
have muscle mass.
People.
That's like, on Saturday Night Live, they talked about Vegan Magazine, and they said you can read about it in the Vegan Magazine, so weak. Ew. Yeah, I could never date a vegan, for the record. It's making me disgusted.
In a related story, Chris Brown came out and said he thinks this is appalling that you don't have to be a vegan to beat women like that.
Puns! It's kind of almost a pun.
Almost.
Do the ba-dum-bum.
I can't believe they're airing that commercial. So I want to hear, if Now doesn't speak out at a commercial about this, I'm going to be really upset. I'm going to text them.
The other thing, and this is a true story that came out of the Grammys, Chris Brown apparently has a new pickup line. This not a joke. He went up to a woman in a post Grammy party and said, "Hey, we should go out sometime. I promise not to beat you." And then his entourage all laughed.
That's not funny.
Although, to be fair, he may need to make that distinction now because he does have a history of doing that.
I don't know if you saw, but I posted on Facebook, perhaps one of the most disgusting, vile things ever. After at the Grammys, if you went on Twitter and looked up Chris Brown,
oh, yeah,
there were multitudes and multitudes of women.
Oh,
saying,
I forgot he wasn't here last week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he didn't listen to
I
the show.
I didn't listen.
Either.
I've been busy. I'm sorry. I'm like, didn't we, if you know what I mean.
I'm like, didn't we talk about... Oh, wait. It was John Alston.
Then it's a flashback. I apologize. But, you know, I've actually heard from someone that said Chris Brown actually is not a complete douchebag. Well, I find that a little bit hard to believe.
No, I don't believe any... Well, with very few exceptions, I think everybody has a smidgen of okay with them in the right setting, but...
Yeah, and the things that also aren't being said is, I mean, Rihanna's pretty open that she is very much into S&M, that they had done things like that before, and she had...
Well, what? They were in a car, and he smashed her in the face multiple times. That's not S&M, that's just a beating.
He's vegan! He had a tofu salad for lunch, and he was all up in his veganism, so he showed her who was the man.
To be fair, if I was a vegan, I'd be pretty angry about it, too.
I would. If I was a vegan, I would never eat.
Our dear friend Becca is probably listening right now, feeling persecuted.
Becca, to be fair, you're one of the healthy vegans I know. A lot of people who I know are vegans aren't really healthy vegans.
Okay, now you've just made me picture Becca doing it.
Hey, Becca. Oh, I'm gay, so I can say that. It's not awkward.
And I'm another girl, so it's just hot.
I know.
So, all right. You know what? It's time to move on to the last segment of the show. It's time for
Small Town News!
Mel loves Small Town News.
It's my favorite!
Small Town News, brought to you by our friends at Huge Entertainment.
H-U-G!
Without them, we couldn't do the show.
I don't know what you just took, but do you have crack in your butt?
I just did a booty bump!
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm going to quote you sometime for that.
It's out of control. Huge Entertainment, if you've got an event coming up, from a wedding to a party, from karaoke to whatever, maybe the president's coming over for a party, Huge Entertainment can handle all your needs. Hit their link on NateDarlingShow.com for Huge Entertainment. And Small Town News, here's the cool thing. I was able to go back to Vermont this week, back to my county, actually back to the hometown where my dad grew up, the little town of Glover.
What's it called?
Glover.
I'm a Glover, not a fighter.
Puns.
And this is another picture, which, you know, we've kind of made these the best. There weren't a lot of articles this week. The headline is Glover crew chips away at County Road Ice. Mm-hmm. Or subheadline, ice duty. Glover road crew employee James Pullman takes advantage of unseasonably warm weather Thursday to chip away at the ice sheet on County Road. There's apparently just one County Road.
And that's the whole story.
That is. It's a picture. They're big on pictures. But what they don't say in the caption is he's chipping away with a road grader. So it's a piece of heavy equipment. And there's a flagman with a sign. So
flagman? Like a color guard?
No, not like that. A dude with a sign that has slow and stop on each side.
Oh, you mean the overpaid person, the person who gets paid the most for doing the least amount of work on a construction site?
Yeah, but if I had to stand in one spot doing that all day, man, I would want to.
I would choreograph routines the whole day and end up getting fired because cars wouldn't stop. But I would get featured on a local news about a sassy construction.
Well, it's like those cops who get all of the notoriety for being sassy and dancing around when they're directing traffic.
I could not do that. I could barily direct traffic standing really still.
Most cops I know, that's like the least favorite thing they want to do.
Horrible.
It's awful. It's an awful, awful thing to do.
Anytime you have to stand in one place for an extended period of time, it's terrible.
The only time I didn't mind having to stand still was at like sporting events or concerts. Because then you can just enjoy the event. I usually would not even watch the crowd or deal with crime. I would just watch the football game.
Officer, I'm getting mugged. I'm sorry. It's the fourth down.
Hold on. Let me just watch this play. That's
yeah, pretty much.
So that's Small Town News. You know what? That's our show for the week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Tell your friends that you listen. We're looking to grow the show and move it off of those assholes at Podbean onto a real server. So we've got some exciting stuff coming up. In about a month or so, we'll be talking about exactly what it is. Today's show brought to you by the In Your Facebook Improv Show.
In Your Facebook!
That's coming up
you're like a cheerleader.
Saturday. That's coming up Saturday the 25th at the Sacramento Comedy Spot, 8 p.m. You can hit the link on the show description for tickets and everything else if you're in Sacramento. If you're not, come to Sacramento, for God's sake. There's so much going on. Larry's wrong. It is a fun city.
No, it's a very fun city. I actually have a lot of Sacramento pride, but compared to any city in America compared to Las Vegas, with the exception of New York, I would say is not an exciting city.
I don't know. L.A. is pretty exciting.
I would disagree.
No.
You know what else? For me, exciting means concentrated fun, so I can just go someplace and do something.
Like it's a booty bump?
No, like, you can just go out and not have to plan out your... If you go to L.A., if you want to go to West Hollywood and then go to, like... And then you want to go see comedy in North Hollywood and then end up back in the Valley, that's a lot of planning.
Aww.
I don't like planning for fun.
That's terrible. Anyway, that's our show for the week.
I'll miss you both.
I'll miss you. I won't be here next week.
That's true. Well, Larry, have fun. Larry's going to the Daytona 500.
Woo! I'm going to the Daytona 500, y'all.
The gays are taking over NASCAR.
No, but Lenny Kravitz is performing at the Daytona 500, which for me just sounds odd. I was expecting a country act.
Well, everybody loves NASCAR now, so enjoy the Daytona 500.
I will.
Mel, have a lovely week.
Thanks. I hope everybody's coming to see Lady Business tonight.
Well, they won't hear this until after Lady Business.
Thank you all for coming to see Lady Business.
So there's that. Paul, thanks for sitting in and quietly enjoying the show. This will be a great conversation.
And Paul, I apologize. Paul was at the airport the same time I was yesterday in Las Vegas, and he came up to me to say my name, but I didn't hear him, and so I feel bad. Because people around him thought he was a crazy person.
Well, he still is a
crazy
person. I should
have just started yelling, no paparazzi! No paparazzi! And run away.
All right, everybody, have a great week. We will see you next week. Tell your friends, NateDarlingShow.com. Have a good one.
We love you long time.
Bye.